Brethren, I'd like to bring a few scriptures before our mind. I purpose not to take very long because they say that brief is the soul of wit, so I'll try to be very brief in what I have to say. But I do have a few things I'd like to bring before us that our minds might be exercised with. And I want to read a verse in Philippians, the second chapter. And the verse that comes to my mind is verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Can we just look to the Lord for his help in this little time to come? Again, our gracious God and our Father, we thank thee that we have thy precious word. We thank thee for the great work of redemption that thou hast done in our souls. We thank thee, our Father, that we belong to thee. And we thank thee that thou art there to help us. And so we look to thee and pray that as these few scriptures are brought before our minds, that they might challenge our hearts, Lord, and they might stimulate us, that we might be more dedicated to thee, and that we might be able to honor and glorify thee more in each day of our lives. We ask these things, Lord, through our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. I want to leave this text with you in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Isn't that a good challenge for each of our hearts? Let me ask you. Let me ask myself. Is this mind in me that was in Christ Jesus? It should be. And what mind was that? I think we read further here, and I'll just read these to bring our attention to them. It says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, the verse that's really on my mind, I believe, is the next verse, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. In context, what the Apostle Paul, I believe, is doing here, he's giving us the perfect example of the one who was none other than the eternal creator of this vast universe, deity, the God who made the wonders of heaven above, the galaxies. They tell us that there's millions of galaxies with millions, billions of stars in them. And this God is a great God. But I would have you to remember and to know tonight that he came down to earth. He became a man. And the scripture tells us now, as his example, let this mind dwell in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let us take this with us from this conference. God wants us to have that mind of Christ. And that mind of Christ, I believe, was a mind of humility, humbleness of mind. There's a text in Exodus I'd like to read in verse 29 of Exodus. God saves us that he might dwell in us. And Exodus 29, if you notice, I think it's, verse 45. Well, let's read verse 44. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. Now, this is to the end to which the Lord is doing this. In verse 45, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. God wants to dwell amongst his people. Now, with us, he dwells within us. And it tells us there in this verse that I read. He says, for it is God which worketh in you. God is in you. He's working. He wants to work. And if before that, of course, it tells us here in verse 12, it says, now much more absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I understand this as an imperative mood. It's a command. It's something not just up for options that you may or you may not do. This here tells us that it's a command on the part of God. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then in verse 13, it says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God redeems his people, you and me, that he might dwell in us. God dwells in us. It tells us in 1 Corinthians, I think it's the 6th chapter, and I'll just read that briefly. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? God dwells in you. Are you born again? Have you been washed in the blood of Christ? I'm not asking you if you have made a profession of Christianity. And you know, when God sends his great salvation to us, it's not just an escape mechanism that you can put your say a few magic words, like the preacher said. Sometimes they say, are you a sinner? Yes, I'm a sinner. You believe Christ died for you? Yeah, I believe Christ died for you. Well, you're a Christian. No. The great work of transaction begins when a person comes as a lost sinner, completely undone, and comes to God, and he gets a new nature. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. There's something, a great transaction happens. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Has that ever happened to you? Have you been a new creature? Have you passed from death to life? And it tells us here in this verse that I chose to just bring before us briefly, and I do want to be very brief, but I want to leave with you the fact that this verse here, where it tells us in verse 12 that it is a command, it says, wherefore, beloved, as you have always obeyed, now in my presence, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we have been talking this afternoon, today at times, about the fact that we should take time. God should be first. He's not going to be second. It's a sad thing. And I met someone here recently. They make a profession of Christianity, but God isn't first in their life. Is God first in your life? He wants to be first. Are you a new creature in Christ Jesus? Have you passed from death unto life? Now what in the next verse here says is verse 14, do all things without murmuring. Verse 13, work out, for it is God which worketh in you, who works in you. It's a present indicative. It's a continuous sense. God is working in you, hopefully, if you're a Christian. And he's working in you to do what? To do his good pleasure. And God's good pleasure is that we might be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the ultimate end. And I just want to read that from the Epistle of Romans briefly. I think it's in the 8th chapter. It's a beautiful verse, 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So what God is wants to do to you and me, he wants to conform us to the image of his beloved Son. Now, I read that scripture, and you heard it read. You probably read it many times yourself. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. That mind was a mind of lowliness and humility. Now, he speaks here about obeying. He says, not only when I was absent, but in my presence, but when I was absent. And that's the key, I believe. And the reason why the apostle here brings in, you say, well, this seems like a strange thing to bring in. As soon as he outlines this wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, who came down here, became a man, went to the cross, laid down his life, suffered under the judgment of Almighty God, rose from the dead, and now he's given us an example as this one who condescended at such a low place. And then he tells us in this thing that we should work out our own salvation. And he says, God is working in you. Now, what's God going to do in us? He's going to change us. That's what sanctification is. Sanctification is God wants to change you into something that you were not. And that's what we have in Romans. That little text in Romans, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. You know, that word occurs 4 times in Scriptures. 2 times it occurs when Jesus was transformed into another form. That word is like metamorphosis. It's something you, like a butterfly. A butterfly goes into, a worm goes into a cocoon, and it comes out a beautiful butterfly. Well, that's the word that we have here. And we have the same word occurring in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, where it tells us, we open with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. That word changed is the same word as transformed. That's the same word that Jesus was transformed on the Mount of Figuration. That's what God wants to do. He wants to make you into something that you were not. And that's why he saved us. He wants to dwell in us. And there's a text, and another text I want to bring our attention to. Well, before we do that, I want to mention this. He goes right in to do things without murmurings and disputings. Well, people don't do that, do they? I was talking to my stepson, and he's a deacon in a Baptist church. He says they have all kinds of problems. He was telling me about it, you know. I said, well, listen, that's characteristic of any people who come together. I said, when you get people together, you have all different levels of understanding, levels of intelligence, different levels of spirituality, and they do have murmurs and disputings. This is what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us here, that we, if we follow out what the Lord has laid out here, and have the Lord Jesus Christ as our object before our souls, and if we are doing what it says here, work out our own salvation, submitting to the Word of God, reading the Word of God, looking to the Lord for help and grace, and then it's God will work in us. He will change us without disputings. I talked to another brother that was having trouble in the churches, and And I said, listen, I said, no matter what, who you, people you get, you might be the Lions Club, you might be the Rotary Club, you might be the Baptist Church, you might be the Methodist Church, you might be the Presbyterian Church. I said, when you bring people together, it's people. He said, oh, you shouldn't compare the Lord's people with these clubs and so forth. I said, listen, human nature is human nature. All of us have the seeds of the flesh. There's envy, there's jealousy, there's pride in every one of us. And we have to be able to let this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus. We have to submit to the Lord. We have to work out our own salvation. And we do that by the Spirit of God. In Romans, I won't turn to it because I want to wrap this up real quickly. But in Romans chapter 8, now listen to this verse. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit which dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. If you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So what's the apostle saying? That verse may have reference to the fact that our mortal bodies will be quickened at the last day at the resurrection. But I believe there's another application to it. If you look at that text, and I think it's in Romans 8, anyhow, when it says there in that chapter, okay, verse 12, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. What does that mean? You're going to die physically? Or does it mean you're going to die eternally? Does it mean that you're not really saved and you're going to die? How are you going to die? Then he goes on to say, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now what does that mean? We already have life. I believe he's telling us that's the victory that we can have through the Holy Spirit. If ye through the flesh do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Then he goes on to say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then he goes on to say, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That word is only used a few times in Scripture. The Lord Jesus uses it once, and I think Paul uses it twice in Galatians and here. Abba, Father. It means of a relationship that we have with Him. And so I'd just like to conclude by reading what our brother said over there in Exodus. And I just want to read, because we're talking about what God will do for us. We're talking about the mind of Christ Jesus dwelling in us. We're talking about working out our own salvation. We're talking about God who works in us, and God is working with us. Now, in the sixth chapter of Exodus, our brother read that, and I was thinking that I'd just like to call your attention to this in conclusion. He says, verse 4, I have established my covenant with them. Verse 5, I have also heard the groanings of my children of Israel. And into the verse 5, I have remembered my covenant. And verse 6, I will bring you out from the burden of Egypt. I will rid you of the bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. Verse 7, I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And verse 8, I will bring you into the land. And verse 8, or middle of it, I will give you it to you for inheritance. So you see what God wants to do. He wants to bless His people. He not only wants to dwell in them, as I mentioned in that the 29th chapter of Exodus, He wanted to dwell among them. He dwells within us by the grace of God. If we've been born again by the Spirit of God, if we've opened up our hearts and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in. And I want to just say the last word that I want to say is this, is that God must be first in your life. He will not take the second place. Believe me. I said this to a friend of mine. I don't remember. I'm getting old, a little senile, but I don't remember who it was recently. But a couple of days,
I encouraged him. I said to him, God will not take the second place. He wants the first place. So let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, and walk in fellowship with him, and let him bless you and work out your own salvation. But remember, it's God that worketh in you, both the will and to do of his good pleasure.